Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Thursday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. Appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. Want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Meehan.
That would be really weird. Meehan.
I don't know. Could be both. I don't know.
Meehan.
One of those.
Meehan.
Could be, you know, if you live on the south side of town, it's Meehan, and if you live on the north side, it's Meehan. I don't know. So.
Well, what we do know is if it's wrong, someone will tell
someone
us.
Someone will correct us.
That's correct.
It's actually Meehan.
You idiot.
Yeah, I'll throw that in, too. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. You're cooking out this weekend, and you should be. The weather this weekend and these next couple of Super Bowl weekend coming up, great weather on the horizon for us to cook out and enjoy some great times around the grill, and nothing beats the sizzle of beef when you're cooking out. If you don't want to cook out, I can't say that I totally blame you, because why would you when you've got so many great steakhouses around the state of Mississippi where you can just pop in and grab a steak and let them cook it for you? Whether you're doing it, whether somebody else is doing it, eat a steak this weekend. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. And we're only a couple weeks away from Valentine's Day, so if it's for him or for her, if they're a Bulldog, College Corner can give you a great gift idea this Valentine's Day. So check them out. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, Sunday brunch. The best meal in town is always at Restaurant Tyler. When you have a great lunch, and I love a great lunch, lunch is the cornerstone of the day. Dinner to me is always like, lunch is my favorite meal of the day. And so when I want to eat a great lunch, I go to Restaurant Tyler and I get the blue plate. And I always, always, always have a great meal there. It's never, never not once have I walked out of Restaurant Tyler going, just okay. Never. And you won't either. So enjoy a great meal today. Make it at Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only where they're located, but they're going to show you, more importantly, how they're going to help you invest, manage your money, and prepare for the future. When you have questions about your money, you can't afford to wait around. You know, you want to get answers. You need a level of service that you're not going to get from a bank that's giving you a 1-800 number and putting you on hold with somebody from God knows where to talk to you about your money. You want to have a great relationship with a local community bank that still offers you everything financially that you need. That's when we're talking about Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Robbie looks sad today.
I'm just busy.
I mean, you didn't.
I don't feel like I look any different than I'd look any other day.
You didn't have to skip lunch, did you?
No, I ate crackers for lunch.
That's not a healthy lunch. You're still a growing boy. You need to go get you a lunch.
No, I'm not a growing boy.
How important lunch is.
I mean, I'm a growing boy in the sense that it's going wider.
Hey, growing is growing. All right, that's all I'm saying. So
yeah.
Well, Robbie, this is the point in the show where we have to put our hopes and dreams into someone else's hands. So let's do that now. Let's bring him in, our one and only correspondent here on Thunder and Lightning. Will he deliver the good news or the bad news? We don't know. We turn it over now to Future Brian. Hey, guys. This is Future Brian reporting to you from the future. You already knew, didn't you? You knew when you were sitting there talking what was going to happen, and that's exactly what happened. Mississippi State falls to Alabama. 88-84 is the final score. Earlier in the day, friend of the show, The Crystal Method on Twitter, tweeted something about some backup guard for Alabama realizing it's his turn to go to shoot 70% from 3-point range tonight. That guy's name was Chris Youngblood. Came into the game shooting 30% from three. Tonight he goes 7 of 10 for 23 points. Alabama 15 of 31 from behind the arc. Another really poor showing from State in terms of perimeter defense. And it's a shame because they spoiled one of the best nights of Josh Hubbard's career. 38 points, 14 of 28 shooting, 6 of 15 from behind the arc. Only two Bulldogs in double figures. He and Keyshawn Murphy. Murphy had 18 points, played really, really well, but unfortunately will be remembered for missing the game win. What would have been a shot? I can't say game winning, because Alabama certainly had time to go down there and get another look, but would have given State the lead with just over 14 seconds left. Missed right at the rim. Probably should have dunked it in hindsight, but lays it in and it just rolls off. And Alabama wins, closes it out on the free throw line. State trailed by as many as 9 in this game, but fought back, got the lead, went back and forth with Alabama in the second half, and in the end, it just wasn't enough. RJ Melendez suffered an injury in this game, but came back to play, but didn't play much in the second half. State just really went with the guys. They went with Matthews, who ended up fouling out. Not a big scoring game for Cam Matthews, but he was better. 6 rebounds, 4 assists, only 1 turnover. Riley Kugel, disappointing night as well. 25 minutes, he only takes 3 shots. 4 turnovers, only 2 points for him. Claudel Harris had a couple of big threes, only 8 points for him. You know, State didn't get its normal, you know, 3, 4, 5 guys in double figures. If they do that, they win, despite the poor defensive showing. 15 of 31. I mean, you think about that, you think about they give up 16 three-pointers to Kentucky. You know, 84 points should be enough to win, and it should have been tonight. But and then again, like I said, 7 three-pointers from this guy who'd made 18 three-pointers all year coming into this game. I mean, at some point, it feels like it really is a script, man. It feels like it really is a movie that we're just seeing week after week. That what can you do? What can you do if you're Mississippi State? You know, defensively, they're just not enough. You know, and it's a shame. Like, so they shot 50%, State shoots 50% from the field, 52% in the second half, and gave themselves a great chance to win the game. But in the end, it just wasn't enough. Didn't turn the ball over. Only nine turnovers for State to 18 assists, so that's pretty good. Got good production off the bench, dominated in the paint, had more points in transition, had more blocks, had more steals, out-rebounded by 6, and that was mainly on the offensive boards, 17-13. You know, Alabama, it just felt like, came up with some really key offensive rebounds throughout the game. Mark Sears did indeed respond with a good game, 17 points for him, 6 of 11 shooting. Grant Nelson, 15 points, 6 of 12 shooting. But Youngblood's the difference in the game. This is a guy who came into the game averaging just over 8 points a game, and he shoots 7 of 10 from deep. I mean, you can't. I can't get too mad at Jans because, you know he didn't game plan for that guy to shoot that many 3-point shots. He had 30 3-point attempts coming into the game. And he shoots 10 in this game and makes 7 of them. You know, it's one of those things where it feels like it's improbable, but yet I've seen it so many times. So I can't say that it is. Really tough loss for State. Got to immediately turn that around, flush it, and get back to it because you've got to get a win Saturday against Missouri. I'll be interested to see, you know, Hubbard. I saw a lot of he's back. And look, he played great tonight. Take nothing away from him. But I'm going to see 2 games before I can say he's back. That's what I would like. So he needs to come out against Missouri. I'm not expecting 38 again. But at the same time, you know, he needs to come out and have that kind of performance where he's shooting the ball well, where he's the focal point of the offense and State can run things through him. Really interesting coincidence that State gets career nights from its 2 top players in men's and women's basketball this week, Hubbard and Ja'Kayla Jordan, and yet loses both games. That is, again, with Crystal Method. If you want to crank up the how Mississippi State was that, yeah, buddy, that was up there. That was up there for the Bulldogs. Really tough loss. And like I said, in these games against Alabama now, Jans 0-6 against Nate Oates. It's just a recurring theme. The problem is usually when State plays Alabama twice in a season, you get one really close game and one that's not so much. And State still has to go to Alabama in a few weeks. So something to keep an eye on there. State, like I said, back at it on Saturday, noon tip at the hump against the Missouri Tigers. That's another ranked team. I haven't seen what Missouri did tonight. Missouri basketball. Let's give that a quick Google. Were they off today? Oh, they don't have the midweek game this week, so they're out. So they're resting up and heading to Starkville on Saturday. All right. Before we let's move into the rest of the show, the guys are going to talk some baseball. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats. Did they do? I'm trying to think. Did they do? Did I do that break early? I'm trying to remember. No, I couldn't have. I couldn't have. So I'll do it now. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. It's been a long day. I could go for some smoked Southern soul food right about now. It's almost midnight, but I would take a chicken chipotle taco and order pork rind nachos. I'd take it off your hands right now if you could give it to me. Or I could go over to the older brother. I could go for the croque monsieur and order a fries. Both of those would be delightful right about this second. They would certainly ease the sting of another Mississippi State defeat. So let them do that for you. If you're in Starkville this weekend, make a trip to the Cotton District and grab a meal at either Two Brothers Smoked Meats or the older brother. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for 50 years. One of these days, I'll cut him saying 50 out. I'll do it eventually. But until then, just know that if you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. And then if you need service, it's just a phone call away. It's very easy. It's easy to take care of. Same people who made the sale with you are the ones who will take care of you getting fixed. It can't get any easier than that. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you go to your next game here in Starkville, you need to go to Maroon & Co. You can get some great MSU gear. You can get MSU gear at Maroon & Co. that you cannot get anywhere else. They make it super simple for you because they have the best selection. They have stuff that you can't find anywhere else. And they have our promo code that helps you save a little money. Thunder15 is the promo code. 15% off regular price. Some exclusions do apply. Before you go to the game, let's go to Maroon & Co. Just want to talk a little bit more about this game. I feel like I didn't give it enough justice because it was a hell of a basketball game. Really good back-and-forth game between two good teams. And at the end of the day, Alabama just had more firepower than Mississippi State, and I think we all knew that coming into the game. But when Hubbard gives you 38, you'd like to be able to get the win there, and that's tough. God, he played really well tonight. Just big shot after big shot. Was not afraid to drive, to go inside, to get some easier looks. And then when he started getting those easier looks, the three-pointers started to fall for him. And Murphy, I feel bad for – that's one of those moments where – he's got to be hurting right now as we speak. But he had 18 points. State doesn't compete in this game without Keyshawn Murphy. He played maybe one of his best games. 18 points and 6 rebounds. State's bigs were good tonight. Nwoko, only 18 minutes, but he had 7 and 6. So 25 and 12 from your bigs. They just needed a little more scoring. And if Kugel is a little bit better, if Cam Matthews could do a little bit more, you win this game. Barjay Melendez doesn't get hurt early on, and his game is a little different there. I don't know. They had some opportunities. And that's kind of been State's story in these games against Alabama and Kentucky for basically the last decade, even going back to Howland, is that they've been close and they have a chance to win and they just can't get over the hump for whatever reason. And it's not that Jans can't win the big game, right? I mean, he beat Tennessee twice last year. He beat Auburn last year. They were both ranked opponents. He's won plenty, beat Marquette, who I think ended up being either a one or a two seed 2 years ago. I mean, he's won some big games. That game against Pitt was ranked in the top 25. Now they've fallen off a little bit in ACC play, but that was a good win for State. Winning at Memphis, that's a good win for Mississippi State. So he's won some good games, but Alabama and Kentucky just have his number for whatever reason. And I think part of it is the way that they play. They play a faster pace. That was the thing. State played this game completely at Alabama's pace. The reason State was able to stay in it is they made shots. If State plays that same game and they shoot 47, 45% from the field, well, they lose by almost probably 20 points. State was able to make shots, and that's, you know, the only thing that kept them in it. And that sounds maybe a little, you know, intuitive, right? Well, yeah, they stayed in it because they scored points. They did not play their game at all. They adapt. I don't know if that's, you could say they adapted, or if they fell into the trap, or however you want to look at it. But they did play Alabama's game in this, but they almost played it good enough to get the win. And they were really close. Neither team good at the line tonight. Alabama was 11 for 20, State 10 of 16. Of course, it really hurts to say you missed six free throws in a game you lost by four. Cam missed two. Melendez and Nwoko each missed one. And Keyshawn missed two. Hubbard, a perfect 4 for 4. Nobody else got to the line. Kugel, not, you know, is a guy who gets to the line with some regularity and didn't in this one. Claudell Harris couldn't get to the line. He's more of a jump shooter, but still. I still just can't get over this young blood guy. I mean, it's one of those things I shouldn't be surprised that it happened, because it just happens so often to Mississippi State. But at the same time, goodness. I mean, the guy had 7 3-pointers. I'll bet you right now. I might keep track. I bet he doesn't shoot. He doesn't hit 10 more 3-pointers this year. He only had, like I said, he had 18 coming into this game. So they've got what? Nine. So they've got 9 conference games left. Do I think he'll get 10 more threes? I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. 7 of 10 for this guy. That's tough. That's a tough one to swallow. Oh, well. All right, let's get back to the studio. We'll talk some baseball with the present day Brian and Robbie.
That better not have been like the last one.
Amen.
Name of the maybe the last two wins that we've had.
We're going to trust our guy on this one. All right, he's going to deliver for us eventually. He always feels so bad when he doesn't, though. I'll tell you that. He always feels bad to have to be the bearer of bad news. So maybe tonight's different. Did you see the tweet from Crystal Method about tonight's game?
I did. Well, that was particularly negative.
It was negative, but God almighty, was it true. It's just so true.
I feel like with Alabama, it's like the guy, though, that they usually have their guy that does it.
Yeah.
But like tonight, it'll be Mark Sears.
So who was the guy that our boy Paul Jones hated? Who was that guy? What was his name? Riley, was that his
Riley
name?
Riley Norris.
Riley. God. That guy was at Alabama for like 35 years. I'm pretty sure he played under Wimp Sanderson.
He was there for a very long time. Let's look at him real quick.
Mm-hmm.
From Albertville, Alabama, the same place where Laney Smallwood's from, Mississippi State women's signee or commitment.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. He started in 2014.
Last year.
He left Alabama in 2019.
No chance. He was on that team last year. I guarantee it.
That was the other tall white guy.
Mm. They're cloning him over there. All right.
I think the mafia hitman strength coach.
He's gone.
He would walk across the floor,
yeah,
and point to the towel boy, point right down at the floor to come mop it up.
And mop that up. He treated him,
you
like
know, get
spider
in there real
on
deep
Goodfellas.
Like there. Get in real deep, boy. Real deep.
What happened to that guy? Oh, won't see him no more.
Yeah, he's swimming with the fishes right now.
Yeah. Yeah, he said something to Tommy, and you know, when he got out of jail, and
I'm
gonna get his shine box.
Yeah. Let's go back. Let's go back to 2015.
The 2015 Alabama coaching staff?
Yeah. Okay, this has got to be the guy, Lou Dineen.
I mean, that's a good name, right?
Lou. All right, let's look him up. He's, for whatever reason. Yeah, I see him. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, that's definitely him.
No way.
Oh, okay, we got to know more about this guy. I need to know more. Where is he from?
Okay, so.
He's from Florida.
South Florida.
Is he Cuban?
South Florida. That's a, mm-hmm, that is a, you know, that's a hotbed for that kind of activity.
Mm-hmm.
Logan
used to be his biggest fan.
Huh?
Logan, you loved him. Yeah. It's like, there he is. There's our guy.
I mean, if this guy was the henchman for, you know, a cartel in John Wick or something.
Just look at
like
him. Tell me that guy couldn't have played Paulie Galtieri.
Yeah, he easily could have.
Could have been Silvio probably too.
Like, I need like a scar Like, we need like a scar down the side of his face or
What's he
something.
doing
Like,
now?
you know who he reminds me of?
He got into
He
an
reminds me of
altercation with Bruce Pearl? I didn't know that.
Oh, God. You know who he reminds me of? He reminds me of John Voight in Anaconda. Remember, like, John Voight in Anaconda?
Yes,
Like,
that's pretty funny.
he was kind of like, he was really sketchy. And, you know, he's sitting over there in the corner, like, looking at Jennifer Lopez with this Bowie knife, like, just shaving his face. That's who this guy reminds me of.
Oh, gosh.
Lou Dineen. He
he's
may
doing
be
all
the
right.
Best guy in the world.
Yeah, that's the
I'm
problem.
not
We're
trying to
probably talking to
tarnish
this guy.
his
He's like,
great
gives
name.
thousands to charity, helps
Yeah.
kids.
I'm not trying to tarnish his great name. We're just having fun
Yeah.
because this guy looks like.
We used to see him every year. So, you know.
Yes, we would have like we would create scenarios,
Yeah.
and like when he come off the bench, like we would have like a little dialogue
Yeah.
for him, like with the towel
What you
boys or
doing out
whatever.
there? What are you doing? What are you doing? Stuff like that, yeah.
It's like it. I mean, go look this guy up. I mean, he's got the ponytail, slick
He's
back
got the look.
ponytail.
He
Like
does not
he
look like
looks.
the average strength and conditioning coach.
He looks like a guy that is in like the witness protection program as a strength and conditioning coach.
Yeah.
Like that's not really his. That's not where he started. But they're
He was
like,
a
all right,
he was
you're gonna
actually
be
John
Lou
Gotti's personal
Dineen.
trainer. And now you see he turned over evidence on him, so now he's got to be in. Now he's your new name is Lou Dineen. His original name was like Vito Macanelli or something. I don't know.
Yeah,
All right.
they just put two last names together.
Yeah, made it work.
Denis.
Dineen. All right. We talked about it earlier this week. It's time to start getting a little more serious about baseball. Robbie put out his second article, a preview article. He got the starting lineup. Now he's done the pitching rotation. I hadn't had a chance to look at it, Robbie, so a lot of this will be fresh to me.
Oh,
But
great research. Thanks
that's
a
what I
lot.
have. That's why I have you. I
Once
have you for
again,
that.
you don't listen. You don't read my stuff. You don't support me. That's what I'm hearing right now is you don't support me. You jumped into this podcast with no direction. And what you're going to do is you're going to say, tell me what you think of the pitching staff this year. And
Yeah.
you're going to go to your computer and you're going to scroll through X while I'm talking about the pitching staff. And you're going to go, And you're not going to listen to me. And I'm gonna start talking about Cam Matthews on pterodactyls.
We got a picture of that today. All right, hold on, hold on. Hold on. All right. So, Robbie, tell me about the pitching staff.
Your head's filled up the entire screen. If I escape from this view, oh my gosh. Maybe I need to screenshot that. There we go. All right. Are we formally going into this? No,
Go
you gotta lead it
ahead.
in better than that.
You have my full attention.
No, you gotta lead it in better than that.
Robbie, you wrote an article on that On3 website talking about the pitching staff and who you think could be in the rotation, the bullpen, maybe even a closer. Tell me some of the names that Bulldog fans should be familiar with because, kind of honestly, this time, you know, last year, we didn't really have a good feel for the rotation or how that was going to work. And you ended up with a couple of, high draft choices. Is there still that kind of potential this year, you think?
I'm glad you've made this podcast such an important part of your day. I really appreciate the time and effort that you've put into this podcast and the fact that you're taking it so seriously. These people are paying all this money to listen to our expertise, and this is what they get in return.
Was that in the article?
Yes, it was. It's the first paragraph. If you would have read it,
The first paragraph was about me?
yes.
Wow.
That's see, I played this elaborate trick on you. Yesterday, I told you what my
The
plan
ruse.
was. I've actually come around and done it a different way. You had no idea. Boom. So anyway, about the pitchers.
Yeah.
God.
Making my neck hurt.
Need to put that on the video board. Like,
Oh
I
my
think it
God,
was
can
like
no. That needs
That means to be on the video board when they're kicking field goals.
Yeah, just
So, anyways,
Yes.
let's get serious here.
All right, so let's start with the guys that are coming back that we know a little bit about. Pecole Conn, Carson Ligon. I feel like both
Ligon.
is it Ligon?
It's Ligon.
This feels like a Bryce Pollock thing to me.
I think you finally got Pico's name
I
correct.
know Pecole Conn is correct. All right, Carson Ligon. Carson Ligon.
Ligon.
Ligon. Okay. Those two guys come back. I mean, we thought, a year ago, we really thought Ligon could be maybe a big piece of that rotation. Ended up not being so. Is he a guy who can take that step forward this year and be in the rotation? And Pecole Conn, we've been kind of waiting on him. He's battled injuries. Is this going to be his year?
Yeah, that's certainly the hope from the staff.
This kid, yeah.
Ligon last year when he was brought in, when we talked about that pickup, we really felt like he could be State's Sunday starter.
I remember saying it on the show.
Yeah, Sunday, Saturday, one of those positions, and I really felt like he could be a guy that did that. He just never was. And he pitched in some big moments last year. He had some good moments, but really didn't never really reached the potential that they thought. And Chris Simonis has not been shy about talking about that. He went in the summer and pitched, I believe, in the Cape Cod League and started just going up the charts in his velocity. So his velocity has really climbed. I don't know if it's because he's gotten more healthy. He had some injuries at Miami. I don't know if it was because of that or what. But he has become a guy that's really increases velocity, and that changes things for a pitcher. When you can be throwing 96, 97, that allows you to do a lot of different things. And so they're really excited about him. They really believe that he can be a guy that takes that jump this year. Maybe you can see a jump from him very similar to what we saw with some of those guys last year, like Tyson Harden and Brooks Auger and Tyler Davis. That's kind of like what I think about going into this year. Though we don't have a whole lot of people that we feel good about right now stepping up for Mississippi State and entering those roles, we didn't have that last year. And on top of that, you had guys that emerged that we thought, State was crazy for keeping around. The Tyson Hardens and the Tyler Davises. A lot of us were sitting around like, why are they still in the roster? You have to go upgrade the roster. Those guys ended up being some of the best bullpen pitchers in the SEC. So the hope is that you make a big jump this year with guys that, were just okay last year. They can become really good pitchers under Justin Parker. I think he's earned a little bit of the benefit of the doubt.
Agreed.
And Ligon's one of those guys. Pico's one of those guys. Can Pico be a Friday night starter? Maybe not up to the level of Cal Steven, who was the first team All-SEC, but can he be a guy that competes every single week that can get you six, seven innings routinely? That's what you're looking for there. You have a pretty deep bullpen, at least from guys that you feel are pretty talented. But as far as starters are concerned, Pico and Ligon, those guys are going to be extremely important for Mississippi State this year to have success.
Then you talk about some new faces, and looking at your article here, which I've glanced through since I had a moment there. You've got a true freshman coming in as your potential Sunday starter in Charlie Foster. Now, I asked Lamonis about that on when we spoke to him last week, and that was the name he threw out as a freshman who could. I mean, he just said make an impact. Being part of the rotation would be a lot more than that. You must be very high on this kid who State flipped late in the process from Georgia.
Yeah, I like him a lot. Left-hander, he's going to be getting up there close to mid-90s from the left side. Tremendous potential. I think that he has a chance to be a weekend starter. And I have in there, too, that Jacob Pruitt's a guy that I think could slide in there and be a weekend starter. I think Lamonis said on y'all's show he sees him maybe being in the bullpen. But he came back last Friday and said that he's in the mix for a starting position, too. He can play multiple roles for Mississippi State. He could be a long reliever. He could be a guy that starts for you on the weekend. I'm very interested to see where he falls. So that other slot, I think it could be Charlie Foster. It could be Jacob Pruitt. It could be Stone Simmons. Stone Simmons was starting in the summer. It was starting to stretch out his innings a little bit and stretch his arm out a little bit. And and pitch deeper into ball games in the summer, he could be a guy I think that could factor into that as well. So that's going to be the really interesting piece in week one. I feel fairly confident. I feel very good that Pico is going to be in the rotation in week one. Mm-hmm. I feel pretty good that Carson Ligon's going to be in there too. Mm-hmm. And then that third spot, we'll see what happens. But I think Charlie Foster is certainly in the mix for that spot. What's going to be the kicker there is how he handles, having a tough day, walking a couple of batters or giving up a big home run or something. You know, Gerangelo Sanja, you throw him in there as a freshman, and he struggled at times.
Yeah.
And we've seen other freshmen at Mississippi State that just it's very difficult to come out there in year one and start every single weekend. So it would be – it's tough to imagine Foster doing that in year one, starting every single weekend
right
for Mississippi State. But I think he does factor into their plans in some form or fashion, even if it's in the midweek.
The name that I don't see on your article that I would have thought – was going to be a potential weekend guy is Jacob Pruitt, the transfer from Indiana State. What do you see as the role for him, at least early in the season?
Well, that's what I was saying a while ago. He's a guy that I think can factor into the mix. Mm-hmm. I think he could be a weekend starter. And I'm pretty sure I had him under Charlie Foster in a couple of paragraphs there. I'm pretty sure I mentioned that I felt like he could be a guy that could start. So that's an option. Like I said, Stone Simmons too. I think all of those guys are going to be in the mix, and there's going to be some mixing and matching early. We saw that last year.
Yeah,
you know, State kept two of their starters for most of the year, mm-hmm. but Nate Dome was a guy that you felt like was going to be there the whole year. He was your mm-hmm. Friday starter. He didn't end up pitching most of the year.
Yeah,
so. It always seems to change. It's very rarely do you see those same three guys the whole way through. So I think this is the first part of the schedule you're going to be kind of feeling it out. It might look totally different when SEC rolls around. But Pruitt is definitely a guy that I think could be a weekend starter for State. It would not shock me at all.
What about in the bullpen? You mentioned Gavin Black. We've talked about him quite a bit. We talked a lot last year about Makai Grant before he got hurt. And that was a guy we thought could, even as a true freshman, you know, come in there and be your closer. Black, you talked about, like, early in the season last year, wasn't great, but he got better as the year went along. Grant, we know about the arm talent. It's just about, I guess it's about his health more than anything else. Stone Simmons is another guy that, you know, was having a fantastic year as a closer in 2022 before he mm-hmm. got hurt. So it feels like State has got some really good options to get those final three outs this year.
They do, and in my article, I just put back in the bullpen guys, and I think there's a lot of players that are going to help Mississippi State out of the bullpen this year. It wouldn't shock me to see Noah Sullivan getting innings. We talked to him the other day, and he talked about just kind of doing whatever they needed him to do. Nolan Stevens, I think, is the same way. But as far as the guys that you're going to be counting on all year long, I think for sure that Gavin Black is a major piece there, especially in the back end. We saw it against Virginia in the final game of the season. He comes in there for, I think, an inning and a third, struck out three batters, got all four of them out. And it was kind of like a light bulb just went off, like, where has this guy been? You know, he'd had some innings, and he actually, I think closed out a game or two. But – it was electric. Like, the stuff he was throwing out there was really good, and I thought he was solid during the summer too. What happens with Stone Simmons? I mentioned him as a possibility as a starter or in the back of the bullpen. I think he can do either one of those. Mm-hmm. And then, like you said, Makai Grant, the arm talent is tremendous, and he was really impressing people last fall. Not this past fall, but his freshman year fall. Was one of the more impressive pitchers and goes down with Tommy John, sits out all of last year. Great athlete, great build, 6'3", 215. He's going to be a high 90s fastball. And I think, has just electric stuff. But it is difficult to come back from Tommy John that first year and be really, really effective.
Yeah.
So it might take a while. Now, I think he's going to be ready. I think he's going to be, as far as like healthy, I think he's going to be ready to pitch, because you're talking about he's had well over, 12, 15 months rehab from this. So he's going to be physically ready, but mentally is where it really gets you, getting back in there and throwing with purpose and throwing with command. That's going to be the real chore for him. It's always takes a little bit to get those guys back. So there might be some rust with him. It would be great if you could knock a lot of that off in non-conference. If he can come in there in the midweek against somebody, Memphis or something, and throw an inning and start to get that feel back, and then you get into conference play, he's got that rust knocked off. That would be great. But counting on that, I don't know. And then another guy that I really like is Chase Hungate from Virginia,
I was just about to
who's
ask you about him. Yeah, that he's a different kind of pitcher. He's not the 96, 97 guy. He's gonna, can he be kind of what Cam Schulke was a little bit last year, that gives you like a different look out of the bullpen?
Yeah, I think he will give you a different look, kind of a sidearm guy. And like he's got better stuff, I think,
Yeah.
than Schulke too. But this is a guy that has a ton of experience. Been in the College World Series a couple of times. The pitchability is really strong with him, and the will that he has is a big piece. So while he isn't going to be throwing 96 or 95, he's going to get you outs. He's going to induce ground balls. He's going to get double plays. He's going to get pop-ups, get weak contact. He's going to be, make no mistake about it, one of your more used pitchers and one of your more important pitchers out of the bullpen. I don't think he's a closer by any means,
But he can be that
but
setup
I
guy.
think that he's a guy in the sixth or seventh inning that can bridge the gap, that can get you from the starter to the deep bullpen. He's a guy that can do that, and he can pitch 30 times this year. That might be my prediction for the most appearances, Chase Hungate. And like I said, a lot of innings over the years. He's pitched a lot of baseball, big time baseball. He was one of Virginia's best relievers last season. So that might have been one of the bigger pickups out of the portal, just from a guy that can eat up innings and get outs and get you through some tough situations.
Two guys that Mississippi State fans are going to know from previous teams. We'll start with one who's pitched a good bit, and that's Evan Sieri. He's had a lot of, you talk about a lot of experience. He's pitched a lot these past couple of seasons. What's his role for this Mississippi State team?
Yeah, I don't know. He kind of like tapered off there late last year. We haven't heard much from him in the fall and the spring. I don't know what to expect from him from a role perspective. He might be a guy that can eat up, three or four innings out of the bullpen. Can he start a midweek game for you? What I really like about Evan is he'll give up a home run and he's kind of right back
Yeah,
into his
he's
mode. Like
mentally
it,
tough. Yeah.
yeah, he's, the stuff isn't just out of this world. He's got a decent fastball. He has a tendency sometimes to hang it in there and he'll give up a home run or two. But like I said, the thing about Evan is he will get back in the fight. He will grind out innings for you. So getting a big lead in the game, getting down in the ball game, you need a guy to come in there and eat up some innings. That's a guy that can do it. Some midweek pitching certainly can do that too. That's kind of the benchmark I have for him. He can certainly be a much bigger piece than that. I just don't know where he fits just yet in this scheme for Mississippi State. But I think he will have a role, especially if he's healthy. I know he's had a couple of health issues, dating back to high school. Hasn't been anything super serious, but if he's healthy, I think he will get some good innings for State this year.
The other guy is a guy who we've seen like small flashes of, but has not been able to stay healthy for whatever reason. That's Bradley Lofton. Do you expect him to play any role for Mississippi State this year? Is it just a matter of you got to see him pitch before you can buy into that?
Yeah, I mean, he's almost a unicorn at this point. and not the unicorns that that Scott Foxhall used to talk about.
Don't get banned.
That you will get banned on certain sites for that. But yeah, I mean, it's just a like until I see him back out there, how can you count on him?
That's
I'm
fair.
Shocked that like he's still on the roster just because he's gone so long without like factoring in.
Mm-hmm.
But they obviously see something in him. We've seen it in him too. It's just, is he not healthy? I don't know. I really don't know. We've never gotten a surefire answer. You know, we don't get injury updates from Chris Lemonis very often. So, you know, we don't really know, you know, what the deal has been with Bradley Lofton, but he could have really helped Mississippi State, I feel like, the last couple of years. And I mean, he did his freshman year and then kind of disappeared a little bit. But, you know, last year pitched in three games. It's just been – it's been difficult to routinely keep him in there. And when he's been there, he's been good. 55 strikeouts in 34 innings. He doesn't give up a lot of runs, 12 earned runs. During his career and 10 appearances, he was your midweek guy. And like what I remember about him as a freshman was he would just continuously get guys on base and he would always get out of it. It seemed like. Like he just did not give up runs.
He was walk or strikeout, basically.
Yeah, 9 earned runs in 26 innings that freshman year. So, you know, he's a guy that he just.
On that team, that was probably good for like second on the team.
He would get frustrated. You could see him getting frustrated. He's got kind of that fiery personality about him, but he never just kind of blew it, you know. And teams struggle to hit him. He's got a 168 batting average against. Like it's just very difficult to hit. So I would love to see this kid really blossom this year, and maybe Justin Parker is the guy to do it. And maybe it's him being. You know, injured. I really do not know, but I would love to see this kid because I love this guy. The potential that he has. I think he's a pro. You just got to stay healthy. You got to stay in the game.
Based on the information you have right this second, is this an SEC caliber, a top half of the SEC caliber pitching staff?
I think from a talent standpoint, yes.
Okay.
I can't predict that just yet because there's so many unproven guys. But the depth of it, you got a lot of pitchers. You've for the first time in a while, I feel like you have a lot of lefties that you can put into the mix. That's been one thing that I feel like State's been lacking in years past. Is like they just haven't had a lot of left-handers that they can count on to bring in. When they need a matchup, it was like one or two guys. And now you have several guys. You know, one guy I really like, Robert Fortenberry. Stuff isn't electric. It's not anything that's going to blow you away, but was one of the best JUCO pitchers in the country last year, and he just gets outs. That's a guy that can help you this year. Here's a guy that's very interesting. And I don't know if you remember this, but, you know, Dane Burns, he signed with Mississippi State. He kind of, like, I think he set out last year or something, and now he's back with the team. He's actually a freshman, but he was in the class 2 years ago, and he has shown, you know, some really impressive things from the left side. 6'5", 220, looks like a million bucks. What does he do this year? I don't know. Like that's a guy to watch from the left side too. And then I really like another newcomer, freshman Braden Booth, who I think probably is going to factor in more as a pitcher this year if he does. But he was the best player in the state of Alabama last year, was a state championship MVP. So you have some new guys here that are very interesting that we just don't know much about. Kevin Minnell was one of the best JUCO pitchers in the country. That's a guy that I wondered, could he be a starter for Mississippi State, or is he going to be a back end of the bullpen guy? We'll see on that.
Yeah,
it's just it's a very interesting group. I like the pieces there. It's just about putting it together and fitting guys and roles.
Well, we'll talk some more pitching on tomorrow's show because Mississippi State pitching coach Justin Parker is going to join us, and we'll talk to him. Plus, we're going to talk to Jacob Rudner. He is the new guy at Baseball America, took over for Teddy Cahill. That will be on tomorrow's show as well. So a lot of baseball tomorrow. Plus, we'll talk about the Mississippi State game against Missouri. We'll have to go back a little bit to the Alabama game, get Robbie's thoughts on that. And we will also have a short but sweet warning now. Warning you ahead of time, and then we will give you another warning tomorrow. Royal Rumble preview.
And it'll be at the very end of the show.
Very end of the show.
When you hear it, you can turn it off. You're not going to hear anything Mississippi State related.
There you go. All right. Have a great Thursday, guys. Back with you on Friday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
You think you're untouchable?
Word life. This is basic thugonomics. This is basic thugonomics. Word life. I'm untouchable, but I'm forcing you to feel me. Word life. This is basic thugonomics. Word life.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.